Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Donnie Chedrick with you live from Dino's in Latrobe with the one and only Mark Cabali for the final hour of the show. And coming out to Dino's, stop in, cool down, ice cold Miller Lite. All training camp coverage on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Smale Kia and brought to you by Miller Lite, Schley Deck, and New Flow Men's Health. Mark Cabali, Steelers correspondent from the Pat McAfee Show. He is on the hotline right now, and he is right across from me.
Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
We got you now. I think you're all right. You're still wearing that TJ hat. I thought you were done with that since he signed.
You know what? It's become a big topic of conversation. I figured I already ruined it with wearing it, so I might as well sweat it up here. So maybe we'll stick with it for a while. I just like all your sponsors there that were also like, I'm drinking a Miller Lite. I just ate Dino wings. The Shiley deck came and looked at my house and quoted me on a deck. My goodness, I'm like a walking billboard for the fan sponsors.
How about that? And my guy with New Flow Men's Health, I'm not a user, but I'm just an endorser.
I don't even know what that is, but I hope I don't need it yet.
I don't need it yet either, which is good. Mark, before we get into the Steelers stuff, I don't want to say second. I don't want to say you put this job behind the Steelers one, but you also do work with WWE, one of their writers now, and just a monumental loss to the business earlier today, like a stunning one.
Yeah.
I was just in my living room getting ready for the show tonight, and I see it come across the Twitter timeline that Hulk Hogan passes away, and I'm like, this can't be legit.
I think he's been not sick, but I think he had some surgery work done over the past couple of months. He was actually supposed to go to a signing by my house recently, a couple months ago, postponed it, then canceled it because I was going to be there. But we're talking about the icon of icon wrestling. I mean, forget about everything else here for a while. You can go down that path whenever you want to go about. We're talking about the Hulkster, the guy that made wrestling what it is today. Forget the Mount Rushmore, man. He's the Washington Monument of WWE wrestling, or just wrestling in general. There's one guy alone, him. If it's not for Hulk Hogan, wrestling is not what it is today. Period. All the other stuff, you can debate at a later time.
I think that is very true. I mean, he's certainly a Mount Rushmore face. I think he's up there with Flair, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and then you could debate who that fourth guy is.
It all depends on what we're talking about. What are you talking about? Overall importance to the business, ring work, mic work. I mean, there's a bunch of different categories you can rank these guys in. But honestly, Donnie, if you're looking at a guy who is basic, I'm pretty sure, and I haven't seen it, if you look on CNN, Fox News, New York Times, Washington Post, it's going to say Hulk Hogan dies, whatever. I don't know if it would ever say Steve Austin, even though Austin meant so much to people in this century.
Yeah, I mean, there are guys that have like crossed that Rubicon. Hogan was really the first to do so because, you know, The Rock falls into that category. I think I would say John Cena falls into that category at this point, but Hogan was the first guy to do it. And you bring up the
ultimate man versus the ultimate meatball.
Thunderlips. I went to, this was a little bit over a year ago. Sarah has some family in Tampa. We went to Hulk Hogan's bar in Clearwater.
All right.
And he was known to be there on Monday nights for karaoke. We weren't there on a Monday, so we unfortunately could not take part in that. But I know like he and Jimmy Hart would be there for like karaoke nights on Mondays. I will say this, I love the place. The nachos were spectacular. The food was good.
That's all that matters.
One of the rare places too where I got an honest assessment on stuff from a waitress, which I greatly appreciate, because how often do you go somewhere and kind of throw the question to them and ask them like, hey, what do you recommend? Or, hey, how is this? And they just say, like, oh, everything's pretty good. They don't give you the real McCoy. She was honest. She's like, yeah, I don't really care for this for, like, this reason. I would go with this. I don't really like this drink. It's too sugary. I would go with this. And they also have a little shop right next door. T-Bird just won't stop sneezing. It's becoming very, very distracting. On-site engineering.
Come on, T-Bird.
They also have that little shop right next door to the restaurant, and that had a lot of cool stuff, including there's a signed picture, Hogan. It was Hogan, Mr. T, and Sylvester Stallone from Rocky III, a picture of all three of them.
You know, I was in Tampa in 09, 08 season for the Super Bowl, but something I wasn't able to get to the Hogan Bar. There was other establishments in the city of Tampa, city limits, that are greatly outnumber the schools in Tampa. And apparently you'll find this out during your honeymoon. Not your honeymoon. What am I talking about? Your bachelor party. Honeymoon, then you're in trouble.
But, yeah, so, I mean, I'm
so
glad.
So this would be a must-be when you go down there?
I think it's worth making the trip, absolutely.
You are the guy they're celebrating, so you go where you want to go.
Oh, I'm saying, too, just like in general, like if you ever go back down there, I would say you as a wrestling fan, you got to stop in there, at least the shop. Yeah. At least go into the shop because there's some pretty cool stuff in there.
You know, another thing, he spanned the length of generations upon generations. My grandmother would have been 100 and something now. She died at 99. Big Hulk Hogan fan. And my boy, and I was telling you today, he's 8. All mad at Malzi, said he's going to beat him with a bat because Malzi said he was a bad guy and ranked him number 3. So we're going to nearly a 100-year span there of people that knows Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I mean, because he really, like, set sail to everything in the mid-'80s. And like you said, without his impact, pro wrestling as we know it probably does not exist because he was that first guy to really cross over into the mainstream and make it what it was, like the whole rock and wrestling connection. Another reason, by the way, I think that Roddy Piper, who passed away a decade ago now, he should be somebody that's remembered as like an all-time great heel because he certainly worked great as a compliment to Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Roddy Piper, you know, I collected all those wrestling figures in the mid-'80s. Those big rubber things. And once again, my kid's a big wrestling fan, and he goes, I think all those guys in there are dead now. And I'm like, you know what?
Probably.
Other than Jimmy Hart, I think it is. And it's pretty bad.
And Jimmy Hart still looks good. I saw a picture of him at one of the
Something tells me he dyes his hair.
Maybe. But I think he has stayed away from some of the hard living that those guys had in the 80s, which is probably a good thing.
You're still very young, Donnie, but pretty soon, I know you're a big wedding guy, right? You probably broke the record for most weddings.
I mean, in the last 3 years,
before you know
probably.
It, those weddings all of a sudden replaced with funerals, then you'll know you're getting old. I'm at that back end of more funerals than weddings.
Yeah, that's not something I want to look forward to because one of those things is obviously a great celebration. The other one
Yeah, it's just
not so much. Listen to Pomp and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. We have Mark Cabali, Steelers correspondent from the Pat McAfee Show, here with us. Mark, let's talk a little Steelers here. And you are the third guy I'm having on so far tonight to talk about these guys,
so
but
tagged in on them.
Yeah, I want to get the what kind of tag team would you and Mike DeFabo be? That's like a classic little man and big man.
Last year, this time, didn't he?
He's like the tag partner that hops off the
hill on me, man.
He's like the tag partner that hops off the apron.
He was like Shawn Michaels, and I'm like Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, but see, I don't think Marty Jannetty ever bounced back onto his feet the way you did. His career was pretty much over. And Michaels took off for the mainstream.
Yeah, so I don't know what type of, you know, I don't think you can trust that guy. I think that's what it is. I think he's just a dirty rat. Now, people ask me about the favor. I mean, we still, I can't even say that. We still talk a lot, so I'm not going to say what we talk about because that would indict him a little bit. But, yeah, it's been a year now. It's been about almost a year now since, you know, I got the hill turn. It goes Hogan, Cena, and me, I guess. The Fable, I mean, the hill turn.
Speaking of which, somebody brought this up to me. I did want to get into Steelers, but it's something else about Hulk Hogan. That you can make the argument he was the greatest face, good guy, and heel, bad guy in wrestling history.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, who saw that coming with the NWO, right?
Which, well, apparently Bobby Heenan did. He almost blew the surprise, if you remember.
Yeah, I've saw a lot of stories about that. And apparently Heenan didn't know. He just was reacting, but that was kind of – I mean, at the time, I wasn't thinking about
it. Yeah, I mean, I imagine if I was watching live, I would have never thought, like – because I mean, Heenan just says, well, whose side is he on? I'm not thinking that Hulk Hogan's about to turn.
I mean, they're currently in the angle of Cena doing the same thing.
Yep.
But Cena has an end date. Hogan didn't have an end date. You never knew what was going on right there after the NWO, how much longer he was going to do it. But – hey, he kept WCW doors open probably for a couple years longer just by that. So,
yeah,
he's,
I mean,
almost saved two companies then.
Yeah, it turned that industry on its side. That's for sure.
How many listeners you think we've lost so far talking about wrestling?
There you know what? There's a secret. There's an amount of people out there. There is a good chunk of people out there that may not want to admit it, but they probably love pro wrestling. You know there's always those people.
Oh, so we're talking about the goats of all goats. This is like the Michael
Jordan.
Yeah, Jordans.
Okay, this isn't like just some run-of-the-mill guy that passed away. I mean, this is the Babe Ruth of the industry.
Yeah, he said he was recently on the Logan Paul podcast. He said he had 25 surgeries over the past 5 or 10 years.
Oh.
Like 10 back surgeries, hip replacements, knee replacements. And his finisher wasn't really, you know, it wasn't something that you'd be like, wow.
The devastating leg drop.
Well, but apparently it compressed his back a lot every time he did that. Boom, boom, mm-hmm. boom. And that's what ends up doing. I talked to Zach Frazier. He went to WWE. You remember that?
Yes.
We went to.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. He was there. He stayed the whole time, too.
Yeah, I thought I was a little disappointed.
It looked like the Hayward snuck out of there a little early. Zach Frazier was there until the tail end.
Yeah, I said, what are you so late for, Zach? He goes, Connor was late picking us up. But the point was, he goes, that was my first event. It was nice. I really appreciate him. But you know me. I like real wrestling better. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Real.
He was a four-time state champion in West Virginia. I actually.
Did you ever hear that story about him in his cauliflower years? He is upset that he never got cauliflower ears, Zach Frazier.
Why would that upset somebody?
Upset that? Because it's like a badge of honor to have cauliflower.
I guess that makes sense because people will also tell you, like, if you see somebody in a bar that has cauliflower ear, don't mess with them.
But he said, yeah, I'm disappointed I never got it.
Well, he has the accolades to prove that he wrestled at the.
Not gonna fall off.
I saw him play high school football. My first job out of college, it was in Fairmont, West Virginia. Now, I covered the Fairmont team that was horrible. There was East Fairmont. And then there was Fairmont Senior. He played for Fairmont Senior, and they usually went, I don't know, 10-1, 11-0.
Did you say this guy's every a future year. NFLer?
I didn't call my shot there, but I mean, he was clearly a very good player.
Very good player now.
But, yeah, I mean, this goes back to, you know, 2018, 2019, and then he had a great career at WVU.
Surprise, Donnie likes centers.
Hey, the Steelers have a strong lineage, too, and
he's definitely in there, man. He has a 10-year, 8-time Pro Bowler career written all over him in my eyes.
Has anybody asked him about the, like, lineage of centers here? I mean, because even the guys who
– so quiet, man.
Right, but, like, I mean, you know, there's, like, you have Webster, then you have Dawson, then you have Pouncey, and then you even have, like, Mansfield and Hardings who were really good players.
Yeah, I think he's aware of it, but he's not going to give you anything you could use as your old soundbite, put it that way, you know. But for all those guys, you got the Sean Mahans and Justin Hartwigs and the – I don't even know who else was in between. Oh, no, is that
I mean, you had Chucky Akobi as a backup for a while. You had Doug Ligurski.
Ligurski.
Who was the – I loved Ligurski. He was like the ultimate utility offensive lineman. That dude would go anywhere you wanted. Play a little fullback.
He wasn't very –
I mean, we're not talking about Alan Faneca here, but I mean, we're talking about a dude that did what it took to get on the field. He started in the Super Bowl.
You should do the power poll of top Steelers centers of all time. That'd be hard. That'd be really hard. I would imagine you'd throw Webster at one.
Webster.
I'd put Pouncey way up here. You know how much of a fan am I of Pouncey and what he was able to do here.
I'd go Webster, Dawson, Pouncey.
You got two Hall of Famers right there, so that's hard to argue.
Yeah, and a guy who's
should be, but probably will take 10 years to get in.
Yeah, I mean linemen have a hard time, but
especially
I mean
the centers. There's like eight of them in the Pro Bowl. In the Hall of Fame.
The accolades for Webster and Dawson are pretty even until you bring the Super Bowl conversation in, and that's where I think like that's a pretty good tiebreaker.
Yeah, I think
they were the best centers of their era.
Yeah, I think Webster was obviously top of that list. It was undersized. He was won four titles, but he'd knock you on your head. He would probably be number one. But Dawson, man, Dawson was a different – he changed the ball game, man. The way he was able to pull, he was one of the – maybe he may have been the first pulling center that we've ever seen.
I love the clip. It's like that 97 – regular season game against the Broncos, I want to say. I think Cordell had like five touchdowns. He had a huge game.
Then they lost in the playoffs.
Yeah, but there's one of those plays. It's just a Cordell like quarterback sweep, and Dawson leads him out there, and he just obliterates somebody.
Yep. Nice guy too. So, yeah. Speaking of nice guys, what's his name was hit there today? Troy Polamalu. Like, hey, here's Troy. Troy was at the his kids were running. I guess they were ball boys today or so. Troy's there. Troy put on a couple LBs. Troy's like, Polamalu likes to eat a little.
That's
bit.
All right.
I'm like, is that Troy? Is that Troy? And I'm like, Wexel was next to me. He goes, Troy. And Troy looks. And I'm like, yeah, it is Troy.
I mean, people got on Darrell Revis for the same thing. Like, he walked out to the Hall of Fame thing, and people are like, oh, Darrell Revis, he put on some weight. Yeah, he's walking out to put a gold jacket on. He's allowed to put on a few pounds.
Yeah.
Like, Troy the same way. I mean, plus, we see the smaller guys. They're always putting some LBs on.
300 bills, but
It's the offensive linemen that normally cut themselves in half.
Depends. They either go up or down, the offensive line.
I mean, Faneca, he's like a 180.
Yeah, I mean, look, you see Mason Cole lately, center. Oh, yep. He's in that list too. How about
yeah.
That? He's about a 150 right now. But then you got some monsters that just always stayed that big. I mean, those guys had to eat something crazy. They'd wake up. I remember talking to – who's the pit? Guy that's in Minnesota now, Brian
O'Neill, very good player.
I'd set my alarm for like 2 a.m, so I'd eat like 3 peanut butter sandwiches just to go back, because he put on like 90 pounds in an off season because he was moving from tight end.
Right, he converted from tight end to tackle.
Crazy to get put on weight, you know, something normal people wouldn't do. So it's easy to see why that would come off.
Chris Hoke told a similar story. I think he was like the same way. Like Hoke early on.
Yeah.
Said like he would have to wake up middle of the night and have like a PB&J, at least one, sometimes two, and then he would like try to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
So it's like it was work for those guys to like keep up the size that they were at. That's
Something
why you
now is it doesn't seem like they're really going that way. I think they've pulled back. You've seen a lot of 300-pound tackles, guards, 280s. Rather than the Trent Williams, you know.
Yeah, you're not getting like the 95 Cowboys offensive line out there where they average like 340.
Speed is a little bit more important than maybe overall girth.
Well, speaking of which, Broderick Jones, somebody that, you know, he took some pounds off this offseason. He got up to, Mike said, as high as like 330 last year, and it wasn't necessarily good weight. It took away some of his mobility, which was not good. But then he cuts it back down to like 305, 310 in the hopes that he can kind of turn this thing around. Because this really is like the this is the year
decision year
where like the career trajectory can really change.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can make a lot of money by just having that one good season. But what I just didn't understand about Broderick Jones when he made the statement earlier is his reasoning. So I could eat more at training camp? What? No, you're actually losing weight so you can gain it. No, you usually lose weight. Did you go out there today? It was 107 degrees. You're sweating just like putting on your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it all goes with what they want to do. They want that quick outside zone reach block running game. And obviously you have to be quick to be able to, you know, down block and get to that guy. And you look across the offensive line, all those guys can do that. So that's probably one of the reasons why. Plus, I wouldn't put it past that the money's a motivator too, because next year this time we're going to be saying, should they extend Broderick Jones or just let him go?
I mean, and he's at a position that could draw big money. You know, it's not like he's playing. Yeah, he's not playing guard or even center. Like, tackle is still the big money position.
Yeah, which leads me to everybody has this now or caught up on Steelers don't have depth on the offensive line. That's going to be their downfall. Do you know why they don't have depth on their offensive line? Because if you even can remotely play offensive line, you're signing big money somewhere else. Look at Dan Moore. So there's mm-hmm. not just a random guy. Unless you draft a guy and develop him and he can play, you're not going out there and getting a guy to be able to be a backup because he's signing somewhere else for big cash. So that's why they're there. I mean, you have to deal with Calvin Anderson. You have to deal with Ryan McCollum, who had a couple good games last year at center. You hope Spencer Anderson is that guy. That's basically the only way you can go. You can't afford to go out and get anybody. First of all, there's nobody left. But that seems to be the new talking point, the depth of the offense. No team has depth of the offensive line. None.
Yeah. To go along with that point, too, the big discussion – again, was, you know, after the Watt deal last week was, well, they never put any money into their offense, put more money into their offense. My question back is, well, who do you want them to pay?
Yeah,
like, the problem is that they haven't drafted well enough on offense, or else they would be paying these guys. Because there's, what, one in-house guy, and that's Pat Freiermuth, yeah, that they actually paid. Everybody else they brought in, Metcalf, Smith, like, if these guys play well, like Frazier, I think he's a pretty safe bet to be a guy that they will want to keep around.
But you look at it, their top 10 highest paid guys, I think top 10, nine or 10 of them make over $10 million a year. Four of them are on offense and five are on defense, so it's nine. So, I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, it's not as far as off as you might think it is. It's a cyclical game when it comes to that. 10 years ago, we're like, why is this defense stink so much? They have nobody there to, you know, they just got random people out there because they were all young. Now all their offenses. You know what? Zach Frazier, if he gets paid, say Fatanu eventually, say Broderick eventually, say maybe they even give money to Calvin Johnson, extend
Austin.
Caleb Johnson. What did I say? Calvin,
yeah,
Johnson.
You just combine Calvin Austin and
we're
Caleb
Calvin
Johnson.
Johnson. And imagine if they have a, you know, want to extend a guy like Johnny Smith. That eats up a lot of money real quick. So I wouldn't be worrying about something goofy like that.
Fan text line, that's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up, we'll finish things up here with Mark Cabali, Steelers correspondent from the Pat McAfee Show. We are live at Dino's in Latrobe on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Donnie Chedrick with you from Dino's in Latrobe. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net with Steelers correspondent Mark Cabali from the Pat McAfee Show. We are at Dino's. The perfect stop before or after practice. Enjoy a cold Miller Lite Draft, award-winning chicken wings, or a black and gold burger available throughout training camp. About 20 more minutes with Kaboom here as we talk about the first day of Steelers camp. And, Mark, we didn't even talk about the quarterback position. in our little chat there. But Rodgers threw the pick on the first play today. People got their laughs on social media. I don't really buy into the stats that we get from quarterbacks during camp, unless it's like a QB derby the way they're doing things in Cleveland this year. That doesn't matter because we know who the starting quarterback is.
I know for a fact I've talked to Roethlisberger before, and he would use this opportunity to throw poor balls to certain receivers to see where their range was. You know, can this guy get this ball? Can this guy not get this ball? I don't know if that's what Rodgers did. I think Rodgers, honestly, was his first throw. That's his first team snap. And I think he might have got fooled a little bit because I think they were disguising a little bit. He thought it was going to be man. They dropped into coverage, into zone, and that could be what happens. Patrick Queen, I was talking to him, who made that pick, said, "Well, that could have been it because I just jetted to the flat right there." But I mean, if you're worried about an interception, this is a guy that I looked it up. He averages less than a half an interception per game over his career, and we're talking a 20-year career now. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that's had 13 interceptions is his max. So only went over double digits like three or four times. Taking care of the ball is not the problem with him. I mean, he'll be fine. It's just a matter of, you know, he didn't take a lot of reps today. It was a lot of underneath stuff, a lot of just getting him his feet wet. But may I say it, be the first one to say it. Maybe I'm not the first one to say it. Magic Mason looking good today.
There it is.
He's looking good.
There it is.
I know.
Did you tweet that out? I was waiting for the first person to cover practice to say that.
He actually did.
Mason or Will Howard looked like the best QB.
Will Howard didn't take a lot of snaps. Skylar Thompson looked like Skylar Thompson, you would think. But Mason just looked in control. Mason threw a ball down the field. I liked everything he was able to do. He has the right attitude, too, because I did talk to him afterwards. He goes, "I know I'm not going to start. I know it's Aaron Rodgers," but he goes, "If I get that opportunity, I want to be ready, and I want to help this team win if they need to call on me." So that's what his point of view right now is. I think he is turned into a pretty solid quarterback. Maybe not your 17-18 star. Maybe not that type of guy. But that's a guy you would want on your team, I think, because I think he could step in at any point. If Rodgers is out for a month, I don't think you're going to miss a ton with Mason Rudolph for maybe a month. Of course you want Rodgers there the whole time, what he brings. But I think they're in a pretty good situation with Mason.
Rudolph can keep you afloat. Like he's almost,
yeah,
you know, kind of like what Charlie Batch did.
Back in, Ben's suspension year.
Yeah, you know, there were times where you'd have to get like a spot start from a Charlie Batch type, Byron Leftwich, here and there. Like I feel like Rudolph's a better player than Landry Jones was.
He, if you want to rank something, he might be their best backup quarterback. Oh, it depends. I mean, where you put Cordell Stewart at, but he's up there. I mean, he's made leaps and bounds, man. He throws a nice ball. He threw one to Darnell Washington. I know it was 7-on-7, but he threaded the needle between the safety and the corner like something you would see a Pro Bowl quarterback doing today. Once again, training camp, 7-on-7, but he has that arm talent to be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, if it's a couple of games, he's somebody that could step in and still give them some.
He is a 41-year-old in front of him, so maybe you never know, right?
Well, I mean, I feel like with that being said, too, that Will Howard isn't too far away. I mean, it only takes two injuries ahead of him.
We've seen it very recently, too.
Yeah.
So, for me, if Will Howard doesn't touch the field all season, I would be happy. Now, next year, you can have your projection, you can have your draft, you can have him battling for the two or the one. I want him to come in next year being ready to go more than just say, "Hey, we need to get him some reps this year." I don't think that's necessary.
Are you in on the Caleb Johnson Kool-Aid party the way everybody else seems to be?
He hit it hard today, man. Once again, it's no tackling, so it reminded me of the old Bettis days. Bettis would take a handoff in training camp, get hit by 13 people, even though there was only 11 people out there, then he'd break it, and the crowd would go nuts. Like, you know, that would have been probably a two-yard loss right there, right? But there was a couple plays where Caleb Johnson broke that he probably would have been tackled 2 or 3 yards. But you see the burst immediately out of him where you're like, Najee couldn't do that. I mean, Najee can do a lot of things, but he can't do that. And you saw that he can hit the hole hard, and he's very, very talented in that way. And I think that's how they're going to use him. The problem with him is I don't think his hands are very good. I think he's strictly a first and second down guy. That probably reason why you have Gainwell and Warren's that guy as well. But if you're getting that guy getting 13 to 15 carries a game, he's going to be a difference maker. He's a one step gone. Boom.
How long do you think it takes before he takes over most of the duties?
I think that would be disrespectful to even talk about that with Jaylen Warren, because, I mean, this is a guy we all were clamoring for a year ago, 2 years
ago. I love Jaylen Warren.
He got thighs the size of people's freaking skulls, maybe even bigger than that, their chest. I don't want to deal with that dude. He took a right hand off today, and I'm like, I'd get the heck out of the way of that, man. I ain't tackling that sucker. But I think they want to balance it out. But we've seen this so many times before, Donnie, that once you get in the groove, you don't want to take somebody out. If Jaylen Warren's going 7 yards a pop in the first two series, why am I taking him out? So I still worry about, okay, we're going to be splitting them by week 7. I mean, I don't know if that's fair or not, because I think it's going to come down to Jaylen maybe getting banged up. Jaylen maybe, I hate to say fumbling because it almost seems like it's made up now that he's fumbled.
I feel like they've kind of fallen into a pretty good problem to have, though.
Yeah. I mean, even what's his name from why I keep wanting to call him Trey Lance? No.
Trey Sermon. You think he'd make the team?
He actually got a lot of carries today. They need a third guy, even if it is a practice squad. Well, I don't know if he'll make the initial 53.
Maybe. Well, I think Gainwell would be the third, right?
Yeah, so that's tough. But I think he would be a good option of a practice squad guy as we sit right now. And Cordero Patterson, I don't know, in practice today. It's like, Tom's like, well, we expect him to be out there. No, you don't, because I don't think he's hurt. I don't know. That's just a strange – I wish I knew what the heck was going on with Cordero. You're talking about $3 million going down the crapper.
That, I mean, yeah, he seems not only like the odd man out, he's like the –
he's not going to be your kickoff returner. You got Gainwell. He's not going to be your running back. You got Warren and
– yeah. It's almost like
receiver. He hasn't been a receiver in 5 years.
It's almost like the teams on Selection Sunday that are like the next four out. Like that feels like where Cordero Patterson is.
It almost seems like he's saying, I'll be on the roster, dude, but I ain't practicing until you find somebody you want to trade me with. It could be a piece of that. That's what it seems like to me. I mean, why would he risk himself when he has no chance?
He's waiting to get a toss on 3rd and 6 in – week 15 without playing a single snap beforehand.
What game was it that he dominated for like two series?
The Colts.
Is it the Colts?
He came in and ran all over them.
He looked pretty good in that Detroit preseason game.
So mm-hmm.
He's a big guy, but how their roster currently sits, I don't see a fit. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something, but where is he fit?
On the defensive side of things, speaking of guys who you question – where they fit. Now, Mike didn't seem very confident that this guy would make the team. I'm not either. Does Leal have much hope to make the 53? It seems like they still don't really know what they want to do with him.
Yeah, and this is it. This is reckoning day, right? Reckoning year. If he doesn't make the initial 53, you're cutting him, right? He's not staying on this roster. He's still a tweener, man. He's put on some weight, it looks like. But Their defense is almost going through a morphing type of situation. I mean, if they're not a 4-3 team this year, they're going to be as close as possible they can to be a 4-3 team this year, because they're not going to play Jaylen. They want Ramsey, Slay, Porter on the field. almost all the time. And you throw safety in there and Elliott, and you throw the two inside guys. There's just no room for that guy anymore. Where does Benton fit in? Maybe he's a rotational player. I don't know. They seem like a 4-3 type of guy, and I don't know if Liao's a 4-3 type of guy. I think they just misread him coming out of Texas A&M. I think they got him and said, he needs to work. He just never really panned out.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's talent there, but like transitioning to the NFL, there's just something not clicking with him.
Yeah, he had a good, rookie season where he played a couple games, and I think he might have got hurt in Indy. It's just been nothing. But honestly, where does he fit? Where would you put him?
I don't know. That's the thing.
You're not going to put him at rush end. I mean, you got four of those guys, five of those guys. He's too small to play the interior unless he's a specialty player, and he's not a special teams guy. I mean, I think it's going to be hard for him to make this team.
How did Cole Holcomb look?
Cut his hair.
I saw that.
Cut his hair.
No more mullet.
I don't know. I didn't really notice him very much today. But they got depth of that position now a little bit more than they did last year. I'm not saying they're going to cut him or anything. He's a guy that I think can still help in a certain situations here. But let's face it, it's Queen. It's
Wilson.
Peyton Wilson, yeah. And I just told the bartender, I'll take wings. And apparently I told her the sweet and hot ones. Then I said, hey, by the way, I want it sweet and hot. And then she goes, yeah, you told me. I already forgot. So I already forgot Peyton Wilson's name. But, yeah, Peyton Wilson. And you got Malik Harrison there, too, that can fit in there as well. I just don't know where he fits in at as well, unless there's an injury, which there will be, right? So
is Mark Robinson another guy from that 22 class?
I think he that's makes it
really
I think
special
Tom,
teams.
I think Tom was enamored with his. How can I put this nicely? His disregard for his body in certain situations, which means special teams. I think he's just fascinated by how the guy just blows up anybody and doesn't really care.
He definitely is. I mean, you can tell me if I'm wrong here. He really is like he was probably a phenomenal, like, rec football player, even middle school or high school.
College.
But even before he got to, like, the big-time levels of football where it was really as much as, okay, you're going to be a superior athlete to a lot of the guys you're on the field with, but also just like see ball, tackle ball. Yeah. Like it seems like he kind of misses the mental part of the game. He just throws that to the side, and he really does just.
And crazy thing, two and a half years ago, we're like, oh, Mark Robinson's their number one linebacker right now. And he was it for a portion of the offseason. He reminds me of that guy on what football movie is that called with Keanu Reeves?
Replacements. Danny Bateman, linebacker.
Go get me the ball, Mark Robb. Go get me the ball. Okay, I'll get it to you.
That does kind of seem like the way he is, like see ball, tackle ball. Yeah. Like he's not really thinking about anything else.
Yeah, I mean, they've upgraded so many positions, I do believe, this year, which should have a trickle-down effect to their special teams. I mean, special teams are still critical. I mean, forget the Koontz and the Cam Johnson and the Boswell. I'm talking about the coverages. That's why I think Connor Hayward makes it.
Yep.
Although J.J. Galbraith is becoming more and more interesting by the day. You can tell who Tomlin likes, just how he barks out at the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he could be a guy, but I don't know how much special teams he can play. But you need those core special teams guys, and Robinson's one of them. Obviously Hayward's another one of them. Pierre's one of them. This guy's
Pierre, he's like a cat. He's got nine lives.
Yeah,
him and Loudermilk.
Too bad he can't catch a freaking fake punt. But, yeah, that's almost what you have to look to. I mean, I think Danny Smith gets the leftovers, but he should have some decent leftovers to choose from this year to replace some of the guys that they lost.
Now, I think a position that people are worried about is free safety, because after the Minka Fitzpatrick trade, the blockbuster
don't
with
talk
the
crap on Juan Thornhill. He'll tell you off, man.
Well, I mean, any of these guys could tell me off if they want to. I mean, I don't really care.
Well, I heard you made Cam Hayward pretty mad at you.
Oh, because he didn't get the see. I can't be.
Say, Cam, who are you taking off? That's all you had to say.
Well,
who are you taking off up ahead of you? Who are you putting? Who are you going in front of? Your top 10 Steelers of all
time.
Oh,
well, no, he wasn't. He actually wasn't mad about that. No, he was more. The guys got him fired up about like wedding invitations.
Oh,
and they said, "Oh, Donnie didn't invite Cam Hayward." Listen, I'm doing that more as a service to those guys. I'm not gonna, you know, I don't want to have a Steeler there and like the poor guy just gets just barraged by people for 4 hours.
Might send you a nice present too.
I mean, that is true.
Does E-Rob get the invite?
I wish. My man's out in Vegas now, though. He's living large. The funny thing was, last year, he told me how, like, Vegas, like, easily his favorite city to go as a road player. I wonder what it's like now as a home player.
My favorite E-Rob story is when his kid was playing flag football, and his wife doesn't let him go, but he was able to go one time, and he got mad at how his kid was playing, so he goes, I grabbed him, and I told him, this is how you hit people, and you shove them to the ground, and you do this. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. I said, how old is your kid? He goes, 5. I was like, whoa. Now I know why your wife didn't want you around that.
he became a fan favorite here. I mean, I know he made that huge play against the Cowboys that almost won them that game. I mean, that really would have gone down as one of the best plays of their season if that goes another way. But, I mean, just the way he played. I mean, people loved him. Like, okay, did he have his faults? Did he have his shortcomings as a player? Absolutely. But, I mean, you never had to question the intensity behind his play.
Talking to somebody today, and they're like, boy, we really miss him. I think they meant missing him as a person.
Yeah, I think they missed the attitude. Yeah. You gotta have guys with that attitude. I mean, yeah, maybe they're not all like all pro linebackers as players, but I mean, he brought a different attitude that I think people need.
Yeah, that's where probably Deshaun Elliott comes in too. But you were talking about safety, free safety. I don't think they're. I was pretty sure that they were going to try to upgrade at that position. I'm not quite sure now. It seems like they're just not going to play a free safety if they need somebody back there. Jalen Ramsey. Is going to be, I think, four of the first five plays today, Jalen Ramsey was playing safety. I'm sure that's going to be moved around. But Coleman's goal or his plan is to have all three of those guys on the field at all times possible. And if they only have two receivers, then who jumps back at the free safety? Probably Jalen Ramsey. So I don't know how much you're going to use a Juan Thornhill, to be honest with you. So maybe.
So you don't think they'll even go out and find any sort of, or like look for any sort of upgrade there?
I think they're looking, but I don't think that's on the top of their list right now. Maybe that changes in 3 weeks. But how I just got the feeling over the past couple of days that we're all assuming that that's what they're looking for. But I don't know if they're interested. I think they just need a guy to, because they're going to play so much. They're going to play man coverage all the time now, right? Man coverage, rush the quarterback, and that's probably one of the reasons why I said today T.J. Watt may have 20 sacks this year, because it's going to free those guys up because of the man coverage. You just can't dump it off. But the free safety, they just want him to prevent the deep ball. And that's probably why they got rid of Minka Fitzpatrick in some sort of capacity, because that's all you're going to do. We can just find some random guy from Cleveland who's good but not great. So I think that's the case right now. Unless I'm totally wrong on it, I just don't think they're going to use the prototypical free safety as much as maybe we think they will.
Mark Cabali, Steelers correspondent from the Pat McAfee Show. Mark, thanks for hopping on for an hour. I assume I'll see you tomorrow. You'll hop on with the guys at some point in the afternoon. You can't forget about that, but I guess we got to figure that out now, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what time. He messaged me today and said something. Whoa, what time they're done with practice? I don't know. 4:30? I don't know. By the time the practice will probably be over.